57. So Lord's Day 45 is on page 57 in the back of the blue. But first we're going to read God's Word, Psalm 116. We'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 116. People of God, this is God's very word. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountiful with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And there ends the reading of God's word. Let's jump to the Heidelberg Catechism this evening. Lord's Day 45, and there's four questions. And we will read question 119 as well. So question 116 through 119. I'll ask the question if you could respond with the answer. Question 116 asks, why do Christians need to pray? How does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? One 118 asks, what did God command us to pray for? And what is this prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we're jumping back into the catechism this week, and we actually enter into the final full section of the catechism. We've been going through the catechism for over a year now, I know. And we're finally getting to the end. You know, I know there's 52 weeks and we're supposed to make it in a year, but life happens. But we're going to get there. And we're finally reaching that the full end of the catechism, and we get into that gratitude section, and the gratitude section started with the Ten Commandments, and now it ends with prayer. Think about where we've been. The Almighty God has saved us from our sin and misery. How did he do that? The sacrificial death of his Son, by grace alone. And now we're thankful for that, aren't we? We're thankful that we don't live in sin anymore. We're thankful that Christ did come save us from our sins. And through that thankfulness, we do live through the law now. We don't do the law anymore, or we never could do the law to save us, to earn righteousness. But now we do the law out of gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. But we not only do the law for gratitude, the Lord tells us you need to do something else. If you're truly thankful, you need to do something else. And he tells us you need to pray. You need to pray. Think about that. Something that we think that we this is what Christians do. But in reality, we're commanded to pray because of thankfulness. And I love how the prayer section starts in the catechism. It begins by considering the place and role of prayer in our lives. And we've kind of talked about that lately, haven't we? I believe that prayer is probably the second hardest thing to do in the Christian life. Second hardest. The first hardest is loving your neighbor as yourself. Try doing that. It's hard. But the second, and it's a close second, is having a prayer life. To always be in prayer to our Lord. Or don't get me wrong, I believe we all pray. But do we do it well? And I want to be the first to admit, right, my hand's going to go up. I need to work on this, and I believe we all do. I believe we all do need to work on prayer as a habit for thankfulness to God. See, we all pray when life gets tough. And I hope we all pray around the dinner table. And we all pray before we go to bed. But did you know that God requires you to pray more than just that? See, as I was going through this week, I felt convicted. I kind of felt shocked a little bit. Like, wait, Lord, you require me to pray? He's like, yeah. See, there's a lot of things that are important in the Christian life. But the more I looked at this and the more I hope tonight we see is that prayer should be one of the most important things in the Christian life. The Catechism tells us it's a necessity. We need to do it. It's necessary for the Christian to pray. Why do Christians need to pray? And the answer to question 116 tells us that God requires it of us. Right? That's shocking to me. It's a command. You need to pray. And just as we do the Ten Commandments out of gratitude, right, which is necessary for the Christian life, the Catechism treats prayer the same way. Think of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus tells us what? He says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. What's he talking about? Prayer. How do we ask God for anything? We pray. How do we seek the will of God? We pray. How do we knock? I guess we pray too. It's a necessity. It's required. The Apostle Paul teaches us the same thing, doesn't he? What does the Apostle Paul teach us? To pray without ceasing. Right? He says, bring everything to the Lord in prayer. We sang that in a song. Really, prayer is something a thankful person does because they understand what the Lord has already done for them. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is something a thankful person does because they understand what the Lord has already done for them. That's why it's in the gratitude section. And we don't pray to earn his love. think that if we pray more, he's going to love us more. No. No, we pray out of thankfulness. And as we think about the text this evening, I thought Psalm 116, kind of, it just fit right in to this Lord's Day. There's probably a lot of places we could have went tonight. But Psalm 116, we can see the affliction of the psalmist. And what does he do? He prays. He calls out to the name of the Lord. Like, you almost hear his anguish 3,000 years later, his desperation. At verse 3, he says, "The pains of death surround me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me." And then jumping down to verse 12 in our text, the whole psalm builds to this point. You hear his desperation. You hear him calling out. You hear that the Lord saves him. And then he says this, "What shall I render to the Lord for all the benefits towards me? All of his benefits towards me. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." He's showing gratitude by praying, by calling out to the name of the Lord. And that's why I wanted our call to worship this morning, or this evening, excuse me, was Psalm 103. And we read all the benefits, didn't we? We read all those benefits. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? I'm going to read them again. This isn't in my notes, but I want us to know these benefits. 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Here we go. "Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy?" That loving kindness there is hased. That's his covenant faithfulness that he has for his people. "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Those benefits, what do we do? Right? What shall I render to the Lord for all these things that he's given us? I'll call upon his name. I'll pray. And that's what the catechism is trying to teach us tonight, beloved. The chief part of gratitude, the highest part of gratitude, the most fundamental part of gratitude. Listen to this. This might shock us. Even more fundamental than obedience to God's law in gratitude, the Ten Commandments, is prayer. Listen to question 116 again, and the answer to the question, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. The most important part of thankfulness. We want to do the law out of gratitude, out of thankfulness. But prayer is the most important part. Going back to our text, the psalmist has been delivered. Verse 8, he says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling." How do we give thanks to the Lord? We pray. We talk to him. The very first thing we should do to a Lord that loves us, wouldn't we want to talk to somebody? If someone loves you, would you just not talk to them? When we start to think about prayer as a central thing to the Christian life, when we pray, we're often praying that God will enable us to do good things, good works he's prepared for us. But we need to remember that our prayers don't have to be these giant things. They could be really small things. May through prayer we get strength, spiritual strength. When we pray, we get the ability to do the Ten Commandments now out of gratitude. Even though we don't want to, right? The doing the law is hard. Remember back a couple weeks ago when we read Romans 7. I don't do what I want to do, but I do the things I don't want to do. Oh, yeah. Right? I probably said that wrong. Even when we want to pray, sometimes we find that our flesh says, you know what? I think I'm just going to go to sleep now. And there's those things that kind of push us back from prayer. But if you've stopped and really thought about, what do you do when you pray? What are you doing? You're communing with the Most High God, the one who created everything. When you read Genesis 1, right, when you read about the Lord spoke and it was just done, it was there, ex nihilo, creation. That's the God who you talk to when you pray. Think about that. When you close your eyes at night and you're praying to God, you're praying to the God who created the universe. You're praying to the God who holds all things in his hands. Right? It's fellowship with God. We enter into God's presence when we pray. What a beautiful thing that is. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we just pray, right? You lay down to go to bed and you start praying. Or you sit down at a dinner table and you start praying. But wouldn't it be nice to like teach our kids, our little kids, you know what we're about to do right now? We're about to go into the presence of God and we're going to pray. We're going to go into the presence of the creator of everything. And he's going to hear us because he loves us. Verse 1 of our text this evening. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. It's our source of spiritual power, isn't it? Listen to how question 116 ends. And also because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. See, sometimes you feel like, why am I not growing spiritually? Well, are you praying? Because God will give you grace and strength in his Holy Spirit. And we're not talking about the Holy Spirit what you get when you're saved. But we're talking about that the filling of your soul up with the Holy Spirit. That strength that you need to live day by day. See, what we're saying when we're praying to the Lord is that we believe that we're not wasting our time, but we know he's going to answer. We know that we're meeting with God. And that in our hearts, he's making us more like his son. One of the things I thought about this week is that we experience difficulty in prayer. And I do this myself. Again, here's my hand. First one up. Hard to pray. But I thought about this. Like, there's so many things going on in our heads throughout the day. Then we have to fight our old man to the flesh when we want to pray. See, our flesh never wants to go in the presence of God. It hates that. Prayer feels like a chore sometimes. But we need to, because God commands us to. So now that we know we need to pray, question 17 asks, well, how does God want us to pray? Now, that's a pretty good question afterwards, right? If I know I need to pray, well, how am I going to do it where God's going to listen to me? And it tells us three things. The first one seems really basic, almost like a no-brainer. First, it says, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask for. Why would they need to remind us of this? You've thought about that? Like, you're like, well, duh. Who else would we pray to? And then you remember when the catechism was written. right, during the Reformation, right, and all these people are coming out of the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Church taught, well, you could pray to Mary, you could pray to the saints, and they're saying, no, you pray to the one true God. Think about today. Think about today. Right? We live in a time where all roads lead to heaven. It doesn't matter if you believe in Allah or if you believe in Buddha. No. You're all going to make it. It's going to be okay. What? Right? Can we pray to Allah? Can we pray to Buddha? Can we pray to Hare Krishna? Of course not. We don't pray to the sky, the sun, the moon, the ground. No, we pray to the one true God. It seems like a no-brainer, but man, the world needs to know this. That's the first thing the Catechism says, that we must then pray to the one true God. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in his majestic presence. See, we need to remember who we are and who God is. See, we're dealing with the one who's the king here, his divine majesty. So we never want to get to the point where we think we're better than we are or we're more than we are. The Psalms tell us in another psalm that we're dust, right? We're but dust. The book of James tells us we're just a vapor. We never want to forget that we need God's mercy and grace. God knows how wicked we are without his son. We never want to forget that. You come into the presence of a holy God. So you need to remember your need and misery. You need to humble yourselves in his majestic presence. And we need to keep humbling ourselves, don't we? Even as we pray, we bow before the king. And when we bow, he lifts us up. Even going back to our text, the psalmist says in verse 16, O Lord, truly I'm your servant. Servants bow to their masters. They come in and they bow before them. We need to humble ourselves before the king when we pray. And now third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what he promised us in his word. I want us to hear that again. Why does God hear our prayers? Even though we don't deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. See, the argument made by the Catechism is not that God will answer my prayer because I'm so good, right? God doesn't answer my prayers because I'm getting better at this Christian life that I'm living. I'm walking better with him. No. God answers our prayer because of his son. That's the unshakable foundation. That's what we find our confidence in. You know, not the fact that we know we're getting better at the Christian life. The Lord's good. It's only because of Christ that God hears our prayers. The Christian's confidence rests upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think too often, we just get too full of ourselves in the Christian life. It just becomes too common for us. Like we've lived the Christian life for so long. And we just, you know, just chug along. Do we ever stop and think, and I say this all the time, stop and think that without Christ, wretched sinner, without Christ, the Lord doesn't hear our prayers. The Christian's confidence rests upon the blood of Jesus, which covers our sins. The confidence of the Christian rests upon the fact that the Holy Spirit is within us, making us more like Jesus. See, I know that's a difficult thought. But we need to remember that righteousness isn't inherent in us. We don't just have it. We can't just pull it out of our pocket. No, Christ's righteousness is what we have. So the catechism says that the Christian needs to pray. It tells us how to pray. And then question 118 tells us what to pray for. Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord taught us. Everything we need. There's nothing too big or too small for us to pray for. Have you ever felt like, you know what, this might be too big for the Lord? Really? Or maybe it's the opposite. I'm not going to bring this to the Lord. This is way too small. He deals with bigger things than this. It doesn't matter. He wants to hear your prayers. Everything we need, spiritually and physically. But I know I say this a lot too. Notice how it says everything we need, not everything we want. See, this is where the church has gone astray in the last 150 years or so. The church has thought, well, the Lord loves us and the Lord just gives them out to his people, so I better just ask for everything I want and he'll give it to me. And churches have been built on that. Right? The idea that God wants us to have earthly treasures. The idea if we name it and claim it, God will give it to us. I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. You know, my son had a friend in junior high that said his pastor prayed for a boat and then he got it. And then he praised the Lord in front of the church. And I thought, oh my goodness. Like, what kind of message does that send to his congregation? Like, what kind of message does that send to the kids in his congregation? The little ones who are listening to him. Man, the little kid thinks, if I just pray that I want like an Xbox, I'll get it. That makes me angry. And don't worry, it's righteous anger. But it kills me inside. What? The Lord wants us to ask us for what we need, spiritually and physically, not what we want. And where do we find the things that we need? We pray it almost every Sunday morning here. The Lord's Prayer. See, we see this prayer twice in Scripture, don't we? There's a condensed version of it in Luke, and I want to read the condensed version in Luke. Because we've already read the bigger version in Matthew. The condensed version in Luke. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. The condensed version. How awesome is that? Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Tell us what we need to pray for. It's right here. Now the rest of the catechism is going to go through the Lord's Prayer. That's what we're going to be looking at until we finish the catechism. Beloved, how's your prayer life? I know I need to make my prayer life way better than it is. But how's yours, honestly? Prayer is commanded by God to the Christian. It is our most important thing that we do for thankfulness for what God has done for us. And just think, when you pray, you're having a conversation with the God who created the world. Boys and girls, when you pray tonight, before you go to bed, I want you to think that I'm not just talking to the roof. But I'm talking to the God who created everything. The mountains that you see, the birds in the air, the fish that are swimming in the sea, who made those? God did. And that's who you're praying to tonight. And he hears you, boys and girls. He loves to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. And if our kids could understand that, adults, childlike faith, praying to a creator God, and he hears us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, like I said earlier, we hear these things about our prayer life, and we know prayer's hard. A lot of us have been doing it for many years, and we all wish that our prayer life was better. Lord, and tonight we pray that as we go through the catechism these next few weeks, we pray that we learn to pray better. We learn to understand what prayer is and that you've commanded us to pray. You've commanded us to bring our needs to you. Lord, help us to remember that as we pray to you, it's not because anything that we've done, if we do more good works, you're going to hear us. But you're already going to hear us because of what your Son has done for us. We come in him. We come in the Lord Jesus, your Son. So Lord, as we pray this even tonight, Lord, as we go home and pray, put it on our hearts to know that we're talking to the God who created all things, who loves us, who sent his Son to die for us, and one day will send his Son to come get us and take us home. Oh, Lord, that's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, when the music begins, we're going to grab our Trinity Psalter hymnal. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing number 518. And we'll sing all the verses of 518.